Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, to those of you I didn't get to say hello to yet, glad to see you here today. Well, we said we're going to talk about children. We sent out these postcards. I thought I wanted kids. What do you do with them when you have them? You know, the interesting thing, as Scott was talking about, is God says that children are a gift from Him. Psalm 127, verse 3, says that children are a gift or a heritage from the Lord. And the great thing about the subject of parenting and raising children is that we are all children. And every instruction that we find in the Bible that teaches us about raising children also has a lot to do with how God is raising us. And so, as I talk to those of us with children today, I also want to talk to you, whether you're a grandparent or even just a child. Maybe you haven't had kids of your own yet. But God teaches us an amazing thing, because God is, when He gives us children, and when He gives us the gift of children, He's giving us the gift that He wants the most. Think about that. Every human being was made by God, and His desire is that all would come to repentance and be His children. And so one of the most powerful things as we get into the Bible today, and as we talk about this thing of child rearing, is I know as a parent, I'm just a caretaker for a little while. I'm just a caretaker for a little while of God's children. And we are all here today because we desire to be God's children. And so when God teaches us how to raise children, He's also telling you, this is how I'm going to raise you. This is how I'm going to work with you. This is how I'm going to make you into my child. So as I said, even if you're not raising children of your own right now, maybe your children have grown, you've already done the task and survived it. You can learn a little bit about God and what God wants to do and how God is raising us up to be His children. Now, it all started in the beginning. God made Adam. God made Eve. He said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And as they say, that's the best kept commandment God ever gave, was for man to replenish the earth. No problem there. You know, it's like at the end of the movie Robin Hood and Errol Flynn, the king gives a last command to Robin Hood to take Maid Marian and make her his wife. And he says, may I obey all your commands with equal pleasure. And so man has had no trouble multiplying and having kids. But what do you do once you get them? It's probably the most exciting thing. I can remember the day that our firstborn was born. Frankly, all the days of my kid's birth. But just looking at my child, the first time we had a baby, and just looking into her eyes and just talking with her, and the feeling of love is indescribable. I can't imagine what God thinks, because God loves us all so much. How excited is He every time somebody's born? That's a lot of joy, isn't it? God can handle that joy. We can only handle a few at a time. God can handle a lot. A lot of rejoicing. But you know, the interesting thing about it is when my daughter was born, I didn't have to know her. I didn't have to talk to her. I didn't have to begin a relationship with her. From that moment I saw her, I loved her so intensely, I would have given my life for her right there. No questions asked. Anything I could do to serve her, protect her, help her, cherish her, it's all there. I'll give everything I have. And I thought I loved kids before I had my own. But when that happened, I went to a whole different place. And the thing is, God feels that way about you. God feels that way about you. You take Him to a whole different place. A whole different place of love. A whole different place of feeling, of commitment. You know, God doesn't question it. He just loves you. He just loves you so intensely. And God wants us to know our children. Now, here's the thing that's interesting. we have our kids for about 20 years at home, right? From the time they're babies to the time they grow up, some longer, some less, right? It's longer today than it used to be. But about 20 years, we'll just give me an average. 18 for Scott, he says. He's already got the plan. You're out. But here's the thing that's interesting, that when they're born, they just kind of lay there. They're just there. If they're going to eat, it's because you're going to put something in their mouth for them to eat. If they're going to have their, you know, diaper change, it's because you're going to do it. They're just going to lay there. They can't walk. They can't crawl. They can't roll. They're just there. They're like this little possession, and you have 100% absolute control on their life. Now, you take it out 20 years, and supposedly if you did this right, 20 years down the road, they are a healthy, well-adjusted, ready for the world, independent, interdependent person, ready to leave home. They can wash their clothes and buy their clothes and drive a car and know how to get a place to live, and they know how to brush their teeth and make some food for themselves and know how to get the food to begin with and know how to work, and they're supposed to be on this thing to independence, to being able to leave home. You know, dad just boom, kicks them right out of the house and they're out. I have a feeling that's what's going to happen, Scott. But that's where it is. Now, you have complete control in the beginning. To 20 years later, they leave home, no control. Complete control is easy. No control is easy. Guys, it's the 20 years in the middle that are a big problem. It's those years in between, because it doesn't happen overnight. You don't go from complete control to complete independence. There's 20 years of a gradual process of going from control to independence, of where, who has the control? I have the control, I'm giving you control. I have the control, I'm giving you control. And this goes on back and forth, trying to find this balance for 20 years. And that's tough. That's tough. 20 years of trying to figure out who's got control, how do I teach my child to take control and have responsibility, but yet I still have control and have responsibility. I want them to think for themselves, but yet I need to think for them. They need to learn how to make decisions, but I need to make decisions. And all this goes on. And believe me, this is going on in your life, parents, with you as the child and God as the Father. This thing of control and training and responsibility and teaching, all this is going on. God raising us up to be His children. Now, as I said, control's easy, independence is easy. It's what happens in the middle that's so difficult. But then you add to that, every child has a different personality. The things that work for one don't work for another one. The way one responds is not the way the other one responds. It's really strange. I have three children, and they all respond differently to different things. You know, one wants to fight. Put her down. She wants to fight. Boy, he's tenderhearted. You try to put, he'll come to tears. You break his heart. He'll come to tears. Some are fighters. Some are criers. Some are very serious. Some are jokers. Silly. Like to have fun all the time. Come in all different kinds of personalities. So that makes this more challenging. Then you add to that that none of our children are perfect. All the weakness of the flesh that's found in us is found in them, except they have less maturity, a lot more foolishness, not always sure what to do in life. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to be prone to failures and all that the human heart has for it, just like us. And so the thing as parents, it gets so hard, it gets so frustrating at times, because you're taken from the greatest moments in the world to the lowest moments in the world. The best times and the worst of times, right? It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. That's how child rearing can be. And as parents, it makes it very tough. Now, I'm going to show this little clip here of something, and I have full permission from my daughter to show you this today. So I want you to know that she has allowed me to graciously show you a little clip, and you know, I don't care if you don't think we know each other well enough yet. You're watching my whole movies, okay? So you're going to just have to deal with it. But what we're going to do here is just take a little clip here from Home Life. Now, this is before we moved to California. We were in a little apartment. So, you know, things are on edge a little bit when you're in a little apartment. And we were using one bedroom, and Stephanie and I were sleeping in the little family room we had, and that was about it. And so Stephanie took on the challenge of finding out what were the kids doing in the back room. See, there's our laundry room right there. Is that loud enough? Everything's so peaceful. So you deal with reality, but then they come back with this. Lots of fun at the Liesenfeld house, but it's the best and the worst. You see a little child like that, so sad when you go away on trips, so wanting you to be there all the time, so desirous of your attention and your love, and she certainly was, and so much joy. I mean, we pull out the videos once in a while and just remember all the singing and the dancing and the delightful times. You can't replace that. What a gift from God. And yet, when you see your children do something that's not good, when you see the pain caused when they hit somebody or hurt somebody, and then they say, "No, I didn't do it." And you're like, "But I just videotaped you, and I just told you I videotaped you, and you're still saying no." And you say, "God, how do you deal with this?" This is what God sees, right? God sees it in all of us, and all of us as His children. Confronting that sin is always an issue, isn't it? And the fact of the matter is, we are training up little children, just like God is training us up, and we come with all of our weaknesses, and with all of our frailties and with all of our failures, and He sees it all. You know, knowing what you want as a parent is a good way to know how you should be as a child to God, right? Because what does God really want? He doesn't want you to start denying it and say, I did not. I'm not that way. I'm not. He just wants you to say, I did it. I'm sorry. I need to change. I need your help. Train me. Teach me to repent. Train me and teach me how to live and do what's right. And so we have the highest moments. We have the lowest moments. And as they get older, we can look at that now and we laugh. But you know, it only gets worse, doesn't it? The problems only get bigger and more heart-aching and more troublesome as time goes on. And so what can we do as parents? Because here's the other thing. We're not perfect either, are we? As much as we can say, I want to be the perfect parent. I'll do everything just right. I remember before Stephanie and I had kids, I used to look at other people's parents and say, what are they thinking? Why are they doing that? That's not effective. That's not going to work. Then you become a parent and you say, oh man, was I rough. I was so rough on those people. I can't even believe I thought that way. All of a sudden, the shoe's on the other foot and you're realizing as much as you thought you could control behavior, you realize you can't. With every day, they're taking more and more control, desiring more control, desiring more independence, and you're trying to deal with all this. So what does God want from us? Well, Ephesians 6 and verse 4. One of the basic instructions that the Bible gives us, and that is that we should not provoke to wrath, but notice this, verse 4, bringing them up in the training and in the admonition of the Lord. Bringing them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Now, God does something amazing. That is, He is willing to put His children in your hands for a while so that you can learn this process. God wants us to learn this process. The way He's making more children is He didn't go back to the dust of the ground with every one of them. Now He said, no, I want you to be fruitful and multiply. You're going to bring my children into the world. Through you, I will bring children into the world. And so God teaches us, and He says, I'm going to give you authority over these children. I want you to bring them up in the training and in the admonition of the Lord. Now, admonition is not a word we use a lot today. You don't hear that too often. But basically, it just means in the instructions, the reproofs, the corrections, the things that God would say, do this or don't do that. We have a whole book of the Bible that teaches us His admonitions. But we have to use authority. Now, God gives us this authority. And in Matthew 20 and verse 25, Jesus taught something very interesting about the use of authority. Because the authority that God gives us is to be used in a godly way. Verse 25 of Matthew 20 says, Jesus called them to Himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. So the interesting thing about Jesus' lordship, you could say the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life, is He takes the power to serve us. He takes His power to serve us. And you have been given power and authority, parents, to serve your children. Now, serving doesn't mean that you do what they want. Serving means doing what God wants. Serving means doing what God wants. And the way we go about raising children, it should be based on the authority of God in our lives and bringing that authority to our children so that we can bring them up knowing God. Now, Proverbs 22:6 says that train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So God gives authority to do it, and God says there is a way that it should be done. So we have this authority, and we're supposed to be using this authority, but the way we're doing it is to bring them up in the training and admonition, to use the authority in a good way and in a godly way. Because when we have kids, we're the closest thing to God they see. A lot of times kids can't see God, but they can see their parents. That's why that command, honor your father and mother, is so important to kids and to children. and even adult children. Because the way we treat our parents has a lot to do with the way we treat God. But realize that that puts a lot on us. And there's an effect that we have on our kids by the way we act and by the way we treat them. And how it'll carry on. You know, as I get older, I start to realize that I'm not a kid anymore. The gray is definitely coming in. But I stand in the mirror and I start shaving. And I start looking, I'm like, is that you, Dad? I start to see my dad in that mirror. I'm becoming my dad. And the funny thing is, like, so many things that I used to hear my dad saying, I was like, oh, that's such an old thing to say. Or, you know, parents, they always say that. I'm to hear myself say these things over and over now, too. It's like, what? I'm becoming my father. I'm becoming my father. The things that I've seen in him, I didn't know they were still there. They were kind of like, in suppression for years. And all of a sudden, 20 years later, 30 years later, they're starting to come out again. It's all in there. All that training, all that I saw in my father, it starts to come out again, and the expressions come out, and the attitudes come out, and the feelings come out, and you realize that Dad gave some good things, and Dad gave some not-so-good things. That is why, as parents, when we take on this responsibility and have children, we're to bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Because our number one job is to point them to our Father in heaven. Because the Father we want them to imitate is the one in heaven. The Father they'll have forever. When you think about children, and the most important thing you can do, whether it's your own children or even when you're watching other children as a grandparent or as an uncle or as an aunt, it's to see and help them see that they have a Father in heaven who loves them, who made them. And so their heart and their relationship can be with Him. This is what we're to be doing. If we can accomplish anything in our lives, as parents, is to help our children see God. Help our children see God. Because He is our Father, and He is the one whose training is perfect. See, I'm going to fail. Let's let the cat out of the bag. I'm going to sin. I'm not going to be a perfect example all the time. As much as I try to, I fall short of the glory of God. But God never fails. God never fails. He's always righteous. He's always perfect. He's always holy. He always does what is best. Even if we don't like it, He'll still do what is best for us. God's awesome that way. And so really, we're just caretakers bringing our children up. But as we think about the goal, and you know, a lot of us don't think about the goals in child rearing, but a goal would be to help our children see God. That when they leave, the independence in their life is, did I encourage and nurture a relationship with them, with their Father in heaven? Because sometimes they just don't know. You know, when my children, each of them were born, they didn't come out praying and having an earnest desire to read the Bible. Didn't happen that way. Maybe yours did. Mine didn't. Mine didn't. But that can be nurtured. That can be fostered. That can be helped. And so it's all part of this process that we have and the training. And it is not easy. But realize that part of this, part of what we go through, is helping them to see what God would have them to be, what God would have them to do. Notice with me, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, famous verses. One of the hardest things about raising children is you have so much emotionally invested in them. You know, isn't that really what brings the pain out? You know, sometimes I've talked with other guys about this. Sometimes when you see your kids get hurt, you almost get angry. It's like, why did you have to hurt yourself like that? You know? It happened this morning. The boys were fooling around and they conked heads, just bang on. They just conked and were down, and they were both just crying, and I'm going and I'm hugging them, but at the same time I'm like, why did you guys have to do this? Why do you have to be so wild? Can't you sell them? Don't knock heads. you want them, but you have so much emotionally tied to their well-being and to their safety, and so when they fall, it really hurts. It really hurts. And so you have all this emotion, you have all this tied up, and you're not just the casual babysitter for God. You're involved. You're in the plan. You're the parent. And so there's so much going on. But this is advice that we can really apply as parents to our children, because one of the greatest things we can do is love. Not the way the world would say it, but the way God would. And he says in verse 4 here, love suffers long and is kind. Here's good advice to parents. You got to be willing to suffer long and to be kind. Because if you're not, what are you going to be teaching? You see, this is love. This is the way of love. And a parent learns how to suffer long and be kind. Not to notice, love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely or seek its own. It's not easily provoked. See, that's great advice for a parent, isn't it? See, this thing about love that's so amazing, this way of love, this is what governs every relationship we have. Whether it's a husband, spouse, whether it's parent-child, whether it's you with your brother, your sister, aunt, uncle, your friends. This is it. You want to be successful in your relationships, it's all right here. We could just take this chapter and just say, this is it. If you really have outgoing concern, benevolent concern for somebody else, and live godly yourself. So notice how love does not become easily provoked, does not behave rudely. You know, one of the things I've noticed in myself as I got older is that a lot of the response that I have to my kids is what I heard my father having to me. It's amazing how that happens. But so many of the ways that he talked to me as a child, I hear myself, especially when I'm agitated and frustrated, talking to my children in the same way. I'd say, you know, that's something I hope that I can repent of, God, and that you'll help me and change my heart, because I don't want to pass this on. This isn't what I want to pass on to my kids, because then they're going to be parents and they're going to remember all this stuff. And they're going to be imitating me. And they'll be like, oh, I'm just like Dad. Remember how Dad used to get upset over this, you know, and left that gun out all night, or, you know, the bicycle or whatever it is. You know, and the thing is that you have to say, no, this is not the right way. So often, we, verse 5, are seeking our own. You know, in relationships, a lot of the times when we get frustrated, it's really because we're trying to get something done and somebody interrupts our work. And with child rearing, it's all the time. You can't plan. I remember when our kids were really young, trying to plan to get out of the house was a big deal. Just trying to leave on time was a big deal. You had to really plan ahead because somebody was going to spill something on their clothes and we had to change them, or somebody was going to knock over the milk and you had that to clean up. And as a parent, it's frustrating because the mistakes are going to happen, the failures are going to happen, the accidents are going to happen. And so if we're so busy on trying to get our stuff done, they're going to become an interruption to us seeking our own. Notice it's not provoked. Thinks no evil, or as it could be written, keeps no record of wrongs. Better translation. Now, here's something in relationships for all of us, but for parenting, I think this is one of the most important things. You have to forgive your children. You know, a lot of times the frustrations of the relationship between parents and kids build up because there's so little forgiveness along the way. You just did that yesterday, 2 days ago, 2 weeks ago. How many times are you going to do this? I told you 2 weeks ago to do this. I told you last week. Here you are doing it again today. It's tough. Because we have memories and we keep records of wrongs. You know, we pull out the chart and say, oh yeah, I got it right here. Yeah, 3 weeks ago you did that. You lied to me. And you didn't clean your room, and I told you to clean your room, and you didn't do that. And you hit your brother 3 times that week. And see, and all this is in our memory, and so we get all these little tick marks going along, and we come to today, and you wake up in the morning, and it's not a new day, it's not fresh, the mercies of the Lord aren't new, because you remember what just happened for the last 6 months, and you're ticked. And you're like, I'm unhappy. This isn't right, God. And the funny thing is, when you put yourself as a parent back in the child's position, you realize that God could say the same thing to each of us. And aren't we glad that when He forgives, He removes our sins as far as the east is from the west? Had an example, something happened with our youngest child this week. We found out that he had taken a few little toy pieces from school from the teacher, and our daughter saw them and said, where'd you get these? He took them from the classroom. He stole them out of the classroom. And so we talked to, or Stephanie talked to him about it and said, you know, you're going to have to take these back, but you're also going to have to talk to your teacher and tell her what you did. And oh, did he start crying. Just crying. So sad. So ashamed of what he did. And the little burden, I should say the big burden on that little heart, just started tearing at him. Because he knew what he was going to have to do was go back and ask her basically to say, here, you need your toys back, and I took these things. So he went, and he was very afraid he was going to cry, not be able to talk to his teacher, but Stephanie pulled the teacher outside the classroom, and just the three of them there, and he opened his little hands with the toys, and she saw, yeah, those are the things that are missing. And he was so sad, but she was so gentle with him. And she said, I'm really glad you brought those back. And he said, I'm really sorry that I took them. And she said, okay, Jack, and I'm glad you brought them back. And he said, and I'll never do it again. And she said, I forgive you. And when she said, I forgive you, Stephanie said, he just started to beam. All the weight that he had been feeling to that moment went off of him. All the pain that he was carrying, the burden of his sin, was released because she released it. And so he was so happy, and he said, I want God to forgive me too. And so Stephanie said, well, just pray and ask God, and He will forgive you. And the little guy said, and will He remove my sins as far as east is from the west? She said, yes, He will. And so he prayed. And when he told me about the story last night, you could see he had gone through the whole process. And he was so relieved. But it was gone. It was gone. It's gone for him. And he knows forgiveness is better than sin. So it's not just the act of sin itself, it's what sin carries with it until the forgiveness is received. Because he stole the things a couple weeks ago. He said, oh, he could have just forgotten about it. No, the burden of the sin carried on all that time for him till the teacher said, you are forgiven. And we parents, we got to be willing to say, you're forgiven, and let it go. And remove it from our children as far as east is from the west. We can't live as human beings under the burden of sin. We can't live as human beings under the burden of what we've done wrong and the mistakes we've made. Nobody can. That is why Christ came, was to deliver us from the burden that sin brings in our lives. The only freedom we have is in Jesus Christ. The only freedom we have is in the forgiveness of sins. And so if you, child of God, listening to me today, are carrying around a burden, it's time to go. It's time to open up your hands and say, God, this is what I've done. Father, Abba, Father, please forgive me. I won't do it again. So, what makes God so awesome is He removes our sins. Lamentation says, the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. If you're parenting children and you find yourself waking up in the morning ready to yell, already frustrated, already at odds with your children, just stop yourself and say, I obviously did not forgive them. I'm still keeping a record of whatever happened yesterday. See, it's hard to live life that way. It's hard to live life based on yesterdays. We can only handle humanly about one day. And you know what? God only asks us to have about one day. Remember what He said? Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness and all these things be added unto you. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's sufficient for itself. It's one day. One day. Love is pretty huge, isn't it? The way of love. It's pretty powerful. One day. Can you be submissive unto God as a child of God for one day? Can you submit to His authority as a parent for one day? It's just one day. One day at a time. Parenting is about one day. And if you do the little things of each day, 20 years down the road, there'll be reward. There will be fruit. It's one day. And it's hard. Because the children are going to make choices too, all their own. But here's what I can tell you, is that you have to expect that they're going to mess up. You're going to have to expect that they're going to sin. I'm not saying lower your standards, but just know what's going to happen. The amazing thing about God is it says He knows that we are but flesh. He remembers that we're but flesh. But we have to remember of our children, they're but flesh. And they're immature, and they're foolish, and they're going to get into trouble. So our job is to remember that. And we're learning a great deal of mercy. But notice, keeping no record of wrongs. Verse 6, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. The example, the light that shines in our houses. And parents, we have the authority. This is it. This is the authority is given for us to make our houses places where we rejoice in truth and not in iniquity. You know, I know some people grow up and it's like they live in a house of iniquity. People are doing things, brothers and sisters, doing terrible, nasty things to each other. What we need to be celebrating in our homes is the truth. And notice this. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's love. You know, I know the frustrations of parenting, and I probably haven't even gotten to the worst stage with my kids yet. You know, I always say the teenage years, it's coming, right? Okay, see? They know. So, when it gets bad, here's what you have to do. You have to bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things. That's God's instruction. That's God's way. Because love never fails. Love does not fail. So how do we go about doing this? Let's turn over to Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4. We'll start to touch on this today. Deuteronomy 4. In verse 9, this is God's instruction. He's been commanding them. Notice what He says here. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. We talked about this, we touched on this already earlier, but God is saying, I want you to especially bring to mind me talking to you. Focus on the time when I was speaking. Focus on the time I was giving instruction. Focus on my admonition, my training, my laws, my statutes. Focus on me, God says. But notice he says, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself. As parents, as Christians, what God wants us to do is to diligently be keeping ourselves. Taking heed to what we do. Because if our words are of God and our actions are of ungodliness, the effect of it is not going to go over very well, is it? You know, they say the loudest sermon you ever hear is the one that's never spoken. The actions of life. And so God says, take heed. Take heed and teach your children. Know that your example is going to matter. Know that what you do is going to have an effect. You know, I'd say for children growing up, I think one of the biggest fears, and especially in our society today for kids, is a fear of divorce. It's a big fear. Even if our children hear Stephanie and I disputing some issue, they'll say, we want you to stop. We don't want you to get a divorce. They're afraid that that could be a possibility. And of course, we reassure them, it's not a possibility. It's absolutely not a possibility. And so, one of the best things that we can do as parents and as examples is to love each other. Now, not every home has the opportunity to have a father and a mother, but that role is so important. If you have it, is to love one another, to create as stable of an environment as you can. So take heed to yourselves, because the marriage relationship, raising children, does not take place outside of marriage. It's all part of the family relationship and the way God made it. And we will fall short, but we must keep the example in mind, because our children will learn from what we do. If they hear us talking in angry tones, if they hear us frustrated and upset, that's what they're going to be learning. Dad gets mad so easily. He's always ticked off. He's always upset over something. Nothing's ever good enough for Dad. You know, or it could be said for moms. So we teach them a lot about life. We teach them a lot about following God, because we're Christians in the home. And so let's take the name and be diligent the way we do it, because we do serve as God to them. Notice in verse 6, or chapter 6, Deuteronomy, verses 6 to 9, it says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, he's saying, with your children, always be talking about my word. Bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Always be talking to them about it. You know, it's not just those times that you sit down with your Bible and you say, okay guys, let's read something from the Bible tonight. No, it's when you're out driving to, you know, go out and do a family activity. Talk about God's Word. Talk about God's ways. Have it on your mind. Now here's the thing. If you're not drinking in of God's Word, it's not going to be natural for you to be talking about it either, is it? You have to be thinking about God's Word yourself. As a parent, to help our children, we have to be thinking of and drinking in of God's Word so that we can talk to our children about it when we're sitting down and when we're walking and when we're going out to do an activity and when we're laying down and going to bed at night. And you see, those little skulls of mush, as they grow up and they start learning and as they start seeing, will realize that, hey, Dad likes to talk about what God says. It must be important to Dad. Must be important to mom. She always asks me questions about the Bible and, well, why do I think God said this and why do I think God said that, or, you know, how does this apply? And you see, when we do that with our children, they see it's important to dad and mom. It's important to me too. Don't have to even go through memorizing verses. You know, I've never sat down and formally said, child, memorize this verse. But you know what? They just kind of pick it up. And they remember it at times. And it's amazing what a little seed planted in a child's heart will bring forth. Just at the right time. God's Spirit can work with it if you're planting it in. And so, teach them. God says, so my children, they're in your care. I want you to talk about my word with them. Teach them. Tell them about the time when I spoke to them. Tell them about the time that I actually came and spoke to them as my own children. Tell them about the time that I gave this command or that command. Teach them about the people that have been living this way. Tell them about the good times and the bad times. Teach them all the ways. Let them know my words. Let them know what's in this book. Deuteronomy 11. Verse 19 says, you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Again, every place, keep it before you. Don't let this go from your mind. God is saying, look, they don't know. You're going to have to put it in. Look at it in Deuteronomy 31. Because God just comes right out and says it here. Four times in Deuteronomy it talks about teaching. But notice this in verse Deuteronomy 31, verses 12 to 13. Gather the people together, men and women and the little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you crossed the Jordan to possess. We don't enter this world knowing the Word of God. And so God's saying, you got to teach them. You got to tell them the word. You got to pass on what I'm saying here today, because otherwise they're going to forget it. Now, Hosea 4:6, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Back in 2004, the London Times did a survey of young school-age children. And they asked them how many knew what the Ten Commandments were. And the good news was nine out of ten did actually know something of the Ten Commandments. They said they had heard of them. They knew what they were. But only half of those surveyed could even name one of the Ten Commandments. One. This is a nation that had a church-state relationship, where, you know, there was the Church of England, and, you know, they seceded at a point from Catholic Church, but this was a nation where there was religion, state institutionalized religion, Christianity. Half could name one. Now, the survey didn't say how many could even name half of them or all of them. But the point is this. If you don't teach them, they won't know. Don't just think that your children are going to learn by osmosis what the book says. You have to tell them what it says. You have to teach them what it says. Sometimes you might just want to read part of it. Sometimes you might want to do a skit. Sometimes you might want to do a little activity where they learn about it. Sometimes when things happen, you want to just go through it with them. Kids come home from school, got a problem? Let's see what God says about it. You know, the Proverbs are just one of the greatest books in the world. Anything that happens at school is in the Proverbs. It's all in there. Every relationship problem you're going to face, it's in the Proverbs somewhere. It's in the law. You're going to find it. It's in the Bible. But if you don't teach children what it says, they'll never know. Even the Apostle Paul, remember in Romans 7, he said, I didn't know covetousness until I read the law that said, thou shalt not covet. I didn't even know. Now, it didn't mean the law wasn't there. It just meant he didn't know that the law was there. Children are going to get into problems, and we as a nation are going to get into problems if we don't know what the book says. These are the rules. These are the rules of life. When the rules of life aren't followed, they break you whether you know it or not. Whether you knew them or not. And so, if our children are going to be successful, if we set out that we want a goal to raise up godly children, if we want our children to be what God made them to be in life, then the first thing we have to be doing is pointing them to God and saying, these are the words of life. This is the authority of our house. This is the authority of what we live by and what we teach. And this is how we're going to do it. And you know, if it's important to you, it'll be important to your kids. I don't even have to ask after dinner. It's, can I go get the Bible, Dad? But I didn't have to say, we're going to have a thing after dinner, kids. We're going to sit here, and we're going to get the Bible out, and we're going to read it, and I want you to be excited about it, and I want to see who gets the Bible first. I never had to say that. I didn't have to do it. All I had to do one day is say, how about we read some of the Bible? So, do it. Next day, well, how about we read the Bible? By the third day, they had it. Oh, we're going to read the Bible after we have dinner together. It's a good idea. They trained in a couple of days. And so, you know, Jack, that's his favorite thing to do. He tries to finish dinner first so he can say, Dad, can I go get the Bible now? And he's excited about it. He wants to do it. But again, it took a little bit of effort, a little bit of training, and now it becomes something they want. What's the word? Now it's to the point where they say, can I do the study tonight, Dad? Can I pick the passage? And we had too many going on the other night, and I told my oldest no. We'd gone out a long time. And I said, no, let's do it tomorrow night. He started crying. He wanted to do the Bible study. I said, okay, let's do it. Let's do it. You're that eager to do it, let's do it. Everybody, let's sit down, let's do it. You got to teach them. Nurture a love of this word. Now there's so much more that we have to talk about, but obviously I've talked a long time already today. And so we're going to talk about this again next week. So, and hopefully that you're seeing something in this for yourselves as well. I know obviously some of you don't have children and learning. But here's the thing I hope you can take at least from today's message. And that is, all this instruction we're learning is what God is saying to you. He's saying, I want you to know this word. I want you to realize this is my love letter to you. This is my love to you. Because I want to teach you. I want to instruct you. Because from the moment I made you, I was passionately in love with you. And here it is. I want to teach you so desperately. Because I want you to know what life is. I want you to know what liberty is. I want you to know what freedom is. I want you to know the blessedness of forgiveness. I want you to know the blessedness of righteousness and of holiness and goodness of life. And God has called you to be His children. We're all His children. And so let's remember that. Let's praise the Lord with this in mind and think about these things and sing about these things together.